recapping the weekend in sports and previewing the week ahead. This is FM Talk 106.5 Sports Night with Dalton Erwig and Corey LaBounty.
All right, welcome in. FM Talk 106.5 Sports Night with Dalton Erwig and Corey LaBounty. Ian Blair on the boards. And another great Monday night here in Mobile, Alabama. I got my mask. I've had my mask on the last couple days, ready to roll. Corey, you got a mask?
I got my mask, brother.
Good. Because, you know, it's the law now.
It's the law.
They'll write you a ticket if you're not wearing a mask. Or they'll just give you a mask.
That's right.
Now, I did order a couple masks. Last week, when I knew that the ordinance was likely to pass, I thought, well, you know, enough is enough. I might get online and order a comfortable mask. Because until recently, or even now, still, I'm wearing like these uncomfortable masks that aren't really, I don't think, meant to be worn for long periods of times. And I'm not talking N95. Like, I'm not talking a good mask. Just an uncomfortable mask. So I ordered a couple nice masks from Champion, you know, the athletic gear store Champion. They said that they would be delivered by today, the 6th. And I'm checking the tracking online. I guess they got the AL for Alabama confused with the AL for Alberta, because I'm checking and they sent it to the northernmost post office in North Dakota. And now I'm not getting my nice, comfortable, good working masks until Saturday at the earliest. So that's how my mask adventure is going so far.
I'll have to share with you, Dawn. Would you be willing to sacrifice and wear an Alabama Crimson Tide one?
Hell no. No, never. I'll take the fine. Find me $500. Find me $1,000. I will not be caught wearing an Alabama Crimson Tide mask. Well, actually, you know, for the good of everyone around me, no, I still will not wear an Alabama Crimson Tide mask. Now, you find me a Tennessee Vols mask, and I'll wear it proudly.
We're talking business. Okay.
Not going to wear an Alabama Crimson Tide mask.
I thought I would try.
But maybe if I were Patrick Mahomes right now, I would just buy up every mask in America and then just hand them out to everybody, because Patrick Mahomes signed not only the richest contract in NFL history, but the richest contract in sports history. And we'll get to that in a minute. I do got to let you know that we have an outstanding show planned tonight. Coming up in this next segment, you know, the NBA, they're heading down to Orlando this week, the 22 teams that are participating in the ending of the 2020 season. So they're heading down to Orlando, and one of those teams that has high hopes for the remainder of the season are the New Orleans Pelicans. We'll talk with Ollie Cosell. He's a recurring guest at this point. He writes for thebirdrights.com all about the New Orleans Pelicans. We'll talk to him about the new cover boy for NBA 2K21, Zion Williamson, also Brandon Ingram, and the rest of the New Orleans Pelicans, and what he expects from them as they return from this extended break. And then at the bottom of the hour, third segment of the show, we're talking with Micah Roberts, a former sportsbook director. He lives out in Vegas. He writes about the sportsbook markets, and we're going to talk to him about a lot of things. NASCAR is one of his specialties. There's a big UFC 251 event coming up this Saturday with three title fights. We'll get his take on those, and of course, the NBA, NHL, and NFL seasons to come. But we'll certainly have to ask Micah about this Patrick Mahomes contract. And the news broke this afternoon, Adam Schefter saying that Mahomes signed a 10-year extension, so he still has 2 years left on his current deal, and then now a 10-year extension that is worth up to $503 million. Now, that's the height of the contract. Mahomes will have to hit every single marker that's left there in those papers that he and his agents and lawyers signed in order to make that $503 million. But Schefter said it includes $477 million in guarantee mechanisms, which I guess that means as long as Mahomes is on the team and playing ball, that he could make up to $477 million over the course of this contract. He also, you know, if he gets out there on the field week one and has an Alex Smith-type injury, something that prevents him from ever playing again, he still gets $140 million guaranteed. So richest contract not only in NFL history, but sports history also. And Corey, I brought up to you earlier the 10 richest contracts in sports history. You got Mahomes number one, and then at number two, a guy who might not even play in Major League Baseball this season. Mike Trout signed the second biggest contract in the history of sports just last summer, a 12-year deal worth $426 million. So two more years than Mahomes, and about $50 million less than Mahomes will make on this contract. It's just unbelievable. And finally, some of that baseball money that these NFL players have been asking for year after year.
It's just a situation to where baseball contracts have always been the trendsetter. You're chasing baseball. If you want your child to grow up and become the first $200, $300, $400 million player, you want them to play baseball. But in this situation, Mahomes being drafted in 2017, a situation to where his first contract for 3 years, $11.2 million is what he was paid on his initial contract.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about him not even being the first quarterback in the 2017 draft. You and I were talking, and Ian, we're talking about that. That's what's remarkable about this. But he has won a Super Bowl. He is the face of this franchise. Anytime you have that type of money and the length of the contract, 10 years, you've only had a couple of other quarterbacks that have signed that long of an extension with a particular franchise. Mm-hmm. And you're talking about Brett Favre, Mike Vick, and Drew Bledsoe.
Wow.
And those three quarterbacks right there, you know what they've done for their franchises or did for their franchises. So is he worth that kind of money? It's yet to be determined. But if he hits all his benchmarks, $477 million guaranteed.
Mm-hmm, yeah, and the contract looks really good right now, but what about 5 years down the road, 7 years down the road, heck, 10 years down the road, if you've got a backup Patrick Mahomes that you're paying that kind of money, then it would look like a bad deal. But we'll get into more ramifications with that massive contract. The big news today that Patrick Mahomes signed a new contract with the Kansas City Chiefs. The other big story also comes from the NFL because, well, the NFL is a big business, and they anything that they put out there makes big headlines. Actually, this isn't just the NFL, but with all the current protests and everything going on in America, I mean, we talked about the Aunt Jemima syrup going away. There's all kinds of things that companies are doing now to keep their brand from hurting, and we're seeing that now. It's been brought up time and time again, but it appears that the Washington Redskins may actually be on the verge of changing their name. That came up this weekend. And then the Cleveland Indians from the Major League Baseball, they also announced that they're reconsidering their nickname. Of course, both teams have long been criticized for having names that may be offensive to Native Americans. So with this Washington story, ESPN reports that two people familiar with Washington said that they are likely to change their name from the Redskins before the start of the 2020 season. And you're wondering, you know, why now? People have been upset about the Redskins name for a long time. Remember, we had debate over this years ago. But when it comes to changing things, money talks. And their announcement came one day after FedEx asked the team to change its name. FedEx, of course, is the biggest sponsor for the Washington Redskins. They sponsor FedEx Field, which is where Washington plays. And then Fred Smith is a minority owner on the team. He's also FedEx's founder and CEO. And little known fact, his son, Arthur Smith, is the offensive coordinator for the Tennessee Titans. So he's made his way on his own in the NFL, but he's got a pretty successful father, Fred Smith, who founded FedEx. They asked Washington to change the name. Then Thursday, Nike took all of the team apparel off the online shop. Bank of America and PepsiCo then released statements saying they, too, support the changing of the name. So it looks like we should get more information on that this week. Whether Washington plans to change their name before this coming season. But right after they made their announcement, pretty much, the Cleveland Indians said they were also considering a name change. Remember last year they retired Chief Wahoo, the logo that many said was a racist logo. And then you see these two teams do that and you say, well, what about the Atlanta Braves? Remember they got into trouble for the tomahawk chop during that series against the St. Louis Cardinals last season? The Atlanta Braves got ahead of this, and they appear to support their name, don't have any plans to change it, released a statement on Saturday saying they honor, support, and value the Native American community. That will never change. Now, we'll have to see about the tomahawk chop and some of the other things they do at the Atlanta Braves Stadium, but as of right now, it looks like we're going to be having two new team names, if not this season, then for sure by 2021, in the Washington Redskins and Cleveland Indians.
Well, I think the thing that is very, you know, instrumental, again, dollars speak and sponsorship speaks, and it's just a situation to where you cannot afford, if you're the Redskins organization. I know Daniel Snyder, the owner, said he would never change the Redskins names, and you know that's the wrong thing to say, but it kind of makes you wonder. Other organizations as well, the Chicago Blackhawks,
mm-hmm,
may possibly change their name down the line as well, and it's just going to continue to where when you have franchises, there's always been the Indians and the Redskins that has been brought to the forefront, but now that billions of dollars are being taken away in revenue, that'll change some things.
Yeah, and people are still going to be upset about this. And, you know, all I can say is whether you feel one way or the other, what we feel about the name really doesn't have anything to do with it at this point. It's these massive corporations like FedEx, Pepsi, Bank of America. They are the ones asking for a change, so you know things are going to change. And that's how it stands right now. So we'll come back from the break. We'll talk with Ollie Cosell. He writes for the Bird Rights, a New Orleans Pelicans blog. We'll ask him about the rest of the 2020 NBA season, how he feels his Pelicans will do. Also later in the hour, MLB, a lot of Braves players testing positive for COVID-19. We had NASCAR and PGA this weekend. A full show right here on Sports Night on FM Talk 106.5.
You're listening to FM Talk 106.5 Sports Night with Dalton Arwig and Corey LaBounty. Call the show or text your thoughts to 251-343-0106.
All right. Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Sports Night with Dalton Arwig and Corey LaBounty. And talking next with a guest we've had on a couple times. And, well, I imagine the excitement levels in New Orleans are sky high right now as we get prepared for an ending to the 2020 NBA season as the teams head down to the bubble in Orlando to finish out the regular season and then get some form of playoffs going. And we're going to talk with Ollie Cosell. He covers the New Orleans Pelicans for thebirdrights.com, which is on the SB Nation family of sites. Also co-hosts the Bird Calls New Orleans podcast. Ollie, thanks again for coming on with us.
Absolutely, guys. Thanks for having me. It's so good to finally be talking NBA basketball with you.
Man, I tell you, I am so fired up, and I hope that things go well for the rest of this month because you've got, I mean, not just the NBA, but MLS is supposed to get kicking here in the next week. You got MLB, NHL, hopefully NFL and college football down the line. But right now, man, I am focused on the NBA as the Pelicans get ready to head down. I think they're heading down on the 8th to Orlando, and you could correct me on that if I'm wrong. But regardless, all the teams are heading down this week, going to get some training in, going to play some exhibition games later this month, and then it is full go at the beginning of August. Before we get to talking about the actual games that are coming up, today Zion Williams' 20th birthday, turned 20 years old today, and I guess his gift from EA Sports over the weekend was the cover for 2K21. What were your thoughts seeing Zion Williamson on the cover of the game?
Well, we all know the hype, right, following this kid ever since he hit Duke two seasons ago, and of course he stunned the world, was an easy unanimous pick to be number one in the 2019 draft. And of course, we only got 19 games of him and so far in a New Orleans Pelicans uniform, but you know what? He's really lived up to the hype. Averages of over 23 points a game, over 6 rebounds a game. If he just continues kind of along that same path here in that Orlando restart of games, he's going to wind up as the leading scorer amongst all 19-year-olds to ever play the game.
Wow.
So higher than LeBron, better than Kevin Durant, you know, you name it, better than any of them. So that kind of really sets the stage for where his career may be going. So it doesn't sound like NBA 2K was wrong in making him the youngest selection for the as a cover athlete in their franchise history. So outstanding pick, even though I was a little surprised. You know, there was talk, hey, maybe Luka Doncic should get it. There's mm-hmm. others, right? There was a lot of debate out there. But, hey, I don't think you can go wrong with Zion because the hype is there, and both on the basketball court and off of it.
Yeah, and the hate was real once that cover came out, and I thought it was humorous, and in this day and age, you can look at sports arguments. For me, anyway, they're a lot more humorous than they have been in the past with the Ja Morant fans and the Doncic fans saying, "What are you mm-hmm. He only played 19 games. That seemed to be the main argument, but everything you laid out there, Zion, he got it done during those games. He looked unbelievable, and I know you're hoping, and Pelicans fans are hoping that he carries that on through these games that we have coming up. That picture that made its way around the internet early last week with Zion training, he was in the gym and looked just like, much like Bryson DeChambeau on the PGA Tour, Zion committed himself to working on his body over the break. Is this real? Do you think that this will pay dividends when they get back on the court?
Oh, yeah, it's definitely real. And we have been hearing rumors here in New Orleans, at least those in the media, that he was busy working on his conditioning throughout the entire downtime, the suspension, of course, due to the coronavirus. And he was given, the NBA gave him that permission and the Pelicans for him to use their facilities because he was still kind of rehabbing his injury from, before the play was suspended. It was he and another player. And those two guys weren't exclusive. Zion wasn't that rare case. All throughout these NBA rosters during suspension, there was grants given to players that just weren't physically 100% who were still doing work behind the scene. So I think that really set the stage for him to stay on top of his conditioning, to keep working with the Pelicans trainers. You know, they hired one of the best staffs, grabbing Aaron Nelson from the Phoenix Suns. So you kind of knew that something good was probably going to come out of it. But seeing that picture, you know, it really does take it to another level. And Lonzo Ball, even today on a chat with him, said Zion looks absolutely amazing. He's stunned. He's like, it's hard to believe, and I don't think it may be possible, but he looks bigger, stronger, and more athletic.
Wow.
When you talk about the athleticism of Zion, he has to have some great teammates that are going to join him in that bubble, along with his head coach, Alvin Gentry. And there was some question as to whether Alvin Gentry, because of his age, would make it down and go ahead and be the head coach in that bubble. And one assistant coach for the Pels decided not to join him. Talk about the roster that's actually going to be joining Zion down in the bubble in Orlando.
Yeah, knock on wood, but in 2 days, David Griffin expects for all the players to travel on down there. And definitely the core players, right? The guys that see the most minutes, the regular rotation members, they'll all be going to Orlando. And everybody has a right to be excited, because when these guys were all on the court, the Pelicans were a doggone good team. You know, since December 18th, they went 22-14. They got Derek Favors back. Some of the other guys got healthier. And, of course, Zion. You know, he debuted on January 22nd. And they were just a vastly different team, to where they had one of the best starting lineups. They had a lot of potent shooters off the bench. And they looked like a team that could make waves. And you know what? All the prediction models had them catching the Memphis Grizzlies for that eighth seed, that final playoff spot before coronavirus hit, right? But people still haven't written them off. They still think they can make a run for them and at least that play-in tournament. That's going to be the key. Just stay within four games of Memphis, and that'll trigger that play-in tournament. And that would give the Pelicans a real good chance to keep their season alive.
Yeah, it does seem like, and I think that the Pelicans caught the best break with this, and not because of their schedule, like so many have said. You know, the argument that the NBA gave them an easier schedule because they want to see Zion in the playoffs, well, that was pretty much immediately disproven just by looking at their schedule, what it would have been going on to the playoffs anyway. But I'm looking at some of these other teams that are nearby in the standings. You have Sacramento and Portland, who are both also 3.5 games back from Memphis, just like New Orleans. This play-in game, so what's the deal with that? They have to be within four games of the eighth seed, and that automatically triggers this play-in game. I guess there would be some kind of tiebreaker if there are teams that are tied right there. Do you know about that?
Right, yeah. So, as mentioned, yeah, at least one team has to be within four games of whoever's in eighth, and that'll trigger in that play-in tournament. So the ninth team gets in.
So
right now, as it stands, there's a lot of uneven, if you look at the standings, uneven win-loss records, you know, to where teams have played an additional game or a less game. I think the Pelicans, for instance, only have a record, have played the same amount of games as the Sacramento Kings. Everybody else is a little different. So how it's going to work is the winning percentage, right? They're going to go by winning percentage. So currently, even though you just mentioned in the standings, they're technically tied with the Trailblazers. The Trailblazers actually have an advantage because they played a few more games and therefore have just that slightly higher winning percentage. So as it stands, they currently kind of have that de facto tiebreaker. So real tiebreakers, the way they usually work, would only apply with the Kings, for the Pelicans, that is. It's really a mess, and it's kind of a shame because, let's face it, it's kind of a bias against the Pelicans. So in essence, they've the Trailblazers go 4-4 in these Orlando games. The Pelicans are therefore going to have to win at least one more game, go at least 5-3 to make sure they finish ahead of Portland. So there's all these little nuances against each team that's going to have to work out in their favor.
You look at the schedule that the Pelicans have remaining. On Monday, August 3rd, the Pelicans are scheduled to play the Memphis Grizzlies. And you're talking about the rookie of the year battle between Ja Morant and possibly Zion Williamson. Because of the number of games that Zion has played, that is, to me, the only holdback and setback that could keep him from winning it. But head-to-head, these guys have an opportunity to go against each other, and I know that's going to be a must-watch television game.
That might be the biggest, most fun game, right? It's going to be early in the schedule, so no team's going to be out of it yet. And, of course, yeah, it's coming against the Grizzlies, who everybody's trying to catch that's behind in the pack that aren't in the playoff bubble. And, look, the Pelicans, they smashed Memphis twice during the regular season. They went 2-0, but none of that matters really right now, right? They're still 3.5 games back in the standings. They've got to hope some people think they can make up enough ground, right? Mm-hmm. Pelicans' schedule is the easiest among the 22 teams. Memphis's, it's one of the hardest. But again, that's not really any kind of bias, as you've already mentioned. The NBA kind of gave teams those eight-game schedules based on what was left in the regular season. So no problem there, but you're right. That Grizzly-Pelicans battle is probably going to be, I'm hoping, the best game of at least during this eight-game stretch.
We're talking with Ollie Cosell. He writes on thebirdwrites.com about the New Orleans Pelicans, and a couple minutes left here. All right, Ollie, let's say that the Pelicans do get in and grab that eighth seed in the Western Conference. Mm-hmm. Looking on the horizon, they will play the L.A. Lakers if they get that number eight seed. Unless the Clippers have some ungodly magic down there in Orlando and catch up to the Lakers, it will be the Lakers in the one seed. What are you putting the Pelicans' chances at there? I mean, I think winning at least a couple games would be a huge win for them, right?
Absolutely. You've got to think that the Lakers just are far superior at this time, right? They've got all the experience on the side. They've got the best player in the league in LeBron James. Anthony Davis doesn't make for a bad sidekick. And look, Pelicans are just an experience. You know, three of the guys are 22 years or younger, Zion, Lonzo, and Brandon Ingram. And Brandon Ingram said, look, the team has actually thought about facing the Lakers, which was kind of fun that he admitted that today. But he of course, then quickly followed it up saying, look, we're going to go there one game at a time. If we do face the Lakers, they know how tough they'll be. But you're right. If they could manage to grab just two games off of them, if they were to make it the playoffs, I think that would be huge for them. Because all David Griffin, the executive vice president of the Pelicans, all he's wanted was for this young team to play meaningful games, because every team has to take a step forward, right? Mm-hmm. When you're building towards them, you just don't jump right in any kind of championship run. So it's a stage, and they're just hoping that they at least get that opportunity.
It would be a huge deal. And Ollie, we got to wrap it up. We got the news coming up, but really appreciate you coming on Sports Night with us again, and hope to talk during this hopeful playoff run for the New Orleans Pelicans.
Absolutely, guys, anytime. Yeah, let's hope for some fireworks.
There we go.
That's for sure. Ollie Cosell, you can follow him at Ollie Cosell, OLEHKOSEL on Twitter, and we'll be right back with Micah Roberts.
Recapping the weekend in sports and previewing the week ahead, this is FM Talk 106.5 Sports Night.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Sports Night with Dalton Orwig and Corey LeBounty. Ian on the boards for us, and we always appreciate that. Also appreciate Ollie Cosell coming on with us to talk the New Orleans Pelicans and NBA as they get ready to restart their season. And with so many professional sports leagues getting ready to start here in the month of July, love talking with our next guest here, Micah Roberts, former Las Vegas sportsbook director, now writes about the sports gambling market with Vegas Insider and Gaming Today. And Micah on with us again tonight. Micah, am I missing any sites you write for there?
Good evening, Alabama. No, I think you got them all. CBS Sportsline.
That's
I do
right.
Some stuff for them and some videos. Vegas Insider, Gaming Today. Those are the main ones that I work with.
And you have some fantastic content. Actually, I followed your lead a little bit this weekend with the NASCAR race yesterday, the Brickyard 400 or whatever it's called now, Big Machine Hand Sanitizer. My wife saw the name of the race and was like, what? The Hand Sanitizer 400? Like, why are you watching this? But so I followed you, and I took Eric Almirola, and I mean, you had some big names up there, but I took Almirola and Boyer yesterday, and Almirola almost pulled it out. But
yeah,
he didn't. It was all about Kevin Harvick and Denny Hamlin in the end again, and those guys have been on a roll. Looked like Hamlin was going to win the race yesterday. He has a flat, runs into the wall on with seven laps to go, and then it was Harvick's race to lose from there. Talk about the dominant run that Harvick has been on since this break returned. All four of his wins this season coming since NASCAR returned to the track.
Yeah, and it's been, this particular package, it's the 550-horsepower package. And those two have definitely been at the forefront with it. They've won half the races so far combined. I'm talking Harvick and Hamlin.
Mm-hmm.
They've won, the last two races on mile and a half tracks. And the other tracks like Darlington, both Pocono races, and yesterday at the Brickyard, tricks that are different from mile and a half in a way, it's been all Hamlin and Harvick as well. So they have it figured out, and it stands out even more because we saw the two races at Pocono, which the setups, because of the long straights and the turn, at least turn two at Pocono, similar to all four turns at Indy. So you saw two straight races where the 1-2 finishes by Harvick and Hamlin. And it just was like, why would anything change? The crew chiefs obviously had an edge in setup. Almirola, you know, again, what has he got? Five straight top fives now. He was good. So you knew he was going to be good again at the break. I mean, with such a small turnaround after we just saw two races and we have no practices, no qualifying, it was kind of ridiculous to think that something would change and somebody else would jump out there like you know, Chase Elliott or Bowman or one of the Chevys. It was right there on paper from the previous week. We saw two races. That's pretty much all the data, and that's what I wrote about last week.
Yeah, and even more surprising to me with the race yesterday was Matt Kenseth and where he was running. And it makes sense to me with taking over in Kyle Larson's car, a car that Larson raced so well in last year, that the gear is there, right? And then it falls on the driver. You think Kenseth might have some closer to the top finishes after that race yesterday?
Possibly. This might be a spot for him Kentucky this week. I think the Chevys will be back in play. I think Alex Bowman would be a guy. He's 30-1. I think he's a guy that you could take a shot with, getting such high odds. Remember, he dominated Fontana. He came back the first race coming out of Darlington May 17th, finished runner-up, leading most laps in that race. He's a guy I think could step up here, and obviously Chase Elliott's going to be there as well. William Byron, I mean, this guy, looks like he's running so well, and then he just has the worst luck possible. I think eventually he's going to win a race this season. But, I mean, Harvick and Hamlin, man. Wow, they have such an edge. Then you got Kyle Busch, desperate for a win.
Yep.
He won the inaugural Kentucky race. He's two-time winner there. He's run a couple times in the Busch Series or Xfinity and the Truck Series. He's been amazing, and he's just kind of, you know, he hasn't dominated or done any, but he's still got like seven top five finishes and ran quietly yesterday to a sixth-place finish. So, you know, he's due for a win eventually at some point.
Yeah, he feels like he's due. Now it's just about figuring out when he's going to collect that cash, and that's what you're so good at, and that's what you write about online. But NASCAR has been there for us sports fans over the last couple months, while no other sport other than the UFC and maybe a couple other smaller sports. But now we have professional sports. They appear to be opening up this month, early next month. It seems like things are a go, although things can change on a day-to-day basis. But with the MLB, an opening day coming up July 23rd, they just released the schedule earlier today, a 60-game regular season. They're only playing divisional teams, and then, of course, the corresponding teams that are in their division in the other league, if that makes sense, AL West versus NL West and so on and so forth. How does that, and I know you're a guy that you look at the win totals and things of that nature, how are the win totals and playoff odds affected by this such massively different schedule than what we've ever seen before? I mean, some teams have much easier schedules than other teams.
Yeah, and you know, the 60-game regular season is, you can see the difference in the normal odds-making process and the numbers that are showing at the sportsbook because, let's see, I think it was William Hill Sportsbooks. They had team 1 through 20 as far as odds were 40-1 or less, jumbled in, and then the rest were 75-1 up to 300-1. Nobody going all crazy with, you know, the Tigers or Marlins or the teams that are supposed to be the worst in baseball this season, not getting too egregious or giving too big of odds because it's 60 games, you know, in baseball. We see in April and May every year somebody playing out of their mind, like, when are they going to come back down to earth? Mm-hmm. And usually it's the June swoon. That is when a team, when the realities of a 162-game season come back and bite you in the tail. It's like you can't sustain this. You're playing way over your heads. There's no way. But now it doesn't matter. You can play way over your heads, and you only got 2 months, and you never see a June swoon. So for that reason, anybody can get hot and make a run, and then the season's over and the playoffs start. And I think we're going to see a couple teams like that. I think you're going to see some teams that you might not have thought of that get on a nice run and have the pitching work out. A team like the Rays with a bullpen that starts games, I think somehow that might be beneficial to them in this short, compacted season. And they're a good young ball club. The White Sox, same thing. I mean, that lineup is pretty stacked for an American League Central team. It's a really good lineup when you add Encarnacion and Grandal into the mix with an already really good team. And then they added Gio Gonzalez to the pitching staff. So you have a pretty pretty decent starting rotation and lineup every day. So teams like that, I think, you know, going to give the Yankees and the Astros a run for the money.
One of the things that I think is interesting when you start talking about COVID is how it affects NASCAR and who's able to participate and who's going to be able to participate. How do the odds change daily when you find out that certain superstars either have tested positive for COVID or just are going to decide to stay at home or have a pregnant wife and decide to go back and see the delivery of their baby? Does that change on a daily basis when you're trying to say, all right, I want to make this decision or I think this is a sure bet?
Sure. More so, I think, will be in football. See, baseball, you've already got guys, they're talking about they don't want to play. Mike Trout's, you know, got reservations. The best player in the game has reservations about coming back. That should tell you something for a guy that rarely makes any quotes or makes any statement out there. I mean, he's just like, I don't want to play. You know, David Price is not playing. Freddie Freeman comes in first day and is diagnosed with it. He's like, I guess I got it. And they don't even have the symptoms. You know, Jimmy Johnson, same thing. Didn't feel it, but he caught it. And that's what we're going to have to deal with. But the baseball aspect daily, one player, you know, Bryce Harper, for instance, you could say he's like an 8-cent player to the line, which is one of the highest. Mike Trout, maybe 10 cents to the actual number. But football is where it's going to get interesting because, you know, you set a line expecting, say, Tom Brady to play for Tampa Bay. You expect, you know, this is the lineup I got with. Everybody's injured. Nobody's injured. I'm walking in. I got a good price here. I'll lay 6 against, you know, the Falcons or whatever. Then on Friday, he gets it. Maybe a couple other teammates get it. They disclose it. That's like an 8-point swing with Brady and a couple key starters. So that's going to be the thing that'll be interesting with football, how you deal with the sudden news that's bound to happen weekly. And how much are the replacements on an expanded roster worth? That's going to be the tricky part for both the bettor and the bookmaker for this season.
Yeah, and one of those players that does mean a lot to the line, Kansas City quarterback Patrick Mahomes, who, of course, just signed that massive contract earlier this afternoon, just an absolutely massive contract. I'm looking at the futures for the Super Bowl coming up, and Kansas City, of course, is the favorite, but at around 6-1 odds is what I've been seeing. You know, if you ask somebody what they wish they would have done, if they could tell their younger selves, you know, one thing, they'd say invest in Amazon or something like that. For me, it would be bet on the Patriots before their winning streak. Like, just take everything you can on the Patriots. I'm starting to kind of feel that way about the Kansas City Chiefs, at least in the near future, while they still have money to pay other players on the roster. 6-1 odds, you know, it looks short when you look at that compared to the rest of the league. But if they dominate like they did towards the end of the season, once Mahomes got healthy, that 6-1 starts to look pretty juicy. Am I wrong in thinking that? Are we looking at maybe an early New England kind of deal here?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm interested to see, but I do know that for most teams that are not the Patriots, when they win the Super Bowl, there's a little letdown the following year. That's usually the case with all teams not the Patriots. Patriots have been able to dispel that trend that's happened with Super Bowls. But at 6-1, I would rather take somebody like the Broncos to win the AFC West. That would be, I don't know, that would be more achievable. I think it's going to be a little down for the Patriots or the Chiefs, and that Bronco offense, they've stacked everything just to be able to outscore the Chiefs. And that's what you do in the division. You draft players for what your competitors do.
Right.
So that's what Denver's done. And I think Denver has a better defense by far over Kansas City. And, I think we'll see that this year with the bookends with Chubb and Von Miller back together again. And you're going to see some good things out of the Broncos this season.
Interesting. And like you mentioned, all it takes is one player to go down. If you lose Mahomes for the season, then you can go ahead and tear that ticket up.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure. Go ahead.
When you mentioned Cam Newton and the Patriots, mm-hmm. I think it's a good spot for him, you know? I think it's a good spot where he's not going to be able to, you know, he got away with a lot of stuff attitude-wise and everything in Carolina, and that was just because he's a star. He could do whatever he wanted. I think he knows coming in that Belichick's a no-nonsense guy, and he could probably learn a few things, and, you know, hopefully he can complete some passes. I mean, he was terribly inaccurate. There's a reason why he wasn't playing last year, and he was just having trouble. His arm was, you know, shoulder just, you know, changes the throwing motion, and it was not for the better. So hopefully he's got that all intact, and, you know, Belichick will be a good role model for him.
Yeah, and assuming that Newton is healthy enough to at least throw the ball, be semi-accurate, I'm sure McDaniels and Belichick have huge plans for him. I want to get your take on this, because Belichick has always been at the forefront of the league. He's always kind of been the style maker. Everyone follows and does what Belichick does because it's successful. I think that Belichick, even though he had Tom Brady, greatest quarterback of all time, and was kind of riding him out in his twilight years, I think he was looking around the league at Mahomes and Jackson and some of these scrambling quarterbacks and what they're able to do with the added benefit of incredible accuracy, and was saying, hey, I need to go get a quarterback like that so I can keep up with the rest of the league. I think he has big plans for Cam Newton to kind of use him, maybe not in the standard Tom Brady drop back quick pass role, but actually use him as a runner. Use him like we're seeing some of these younger quarterbacks out there.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully he's healthy enough to do it. I know the shoulder's been a real serious problem for him the last 3 years, or ever since the led the Panthers to the Super Bowl. But for sure, I think he's going to – McDaniels and Belichick, they'll make plays that Cam can make consistently and not put him out there like, you know, he's Tom Brady or something. I think they'll do what Cam does best. If it's the crossing patterns to the tight end – over the middle, that's where he's most accurate, then we'll see as many of those as possible. Or Edelman, stuff like that. You know, those are usually the easiest to complete over the middle. And I would think that he would have some success doing that.
And while we have you on, I got one more question for you, because I can't let you leave without asking you about the NFC South and the New Orleans Saints. We talked a little bit about Brady and the Bucks, but you have the Saints and Bucks there, which are kind of, you know, head-to-head in the odds. They're both pretty similar as far as winning the NFC South and making the playoffs and all that. Do you see any value with the Falcons, or what exactly are you thinking in that division this year?
I think it's going to be fun to see it unfold. We saw it towards the end of the year last year. I believe the Falcons were one of the best bets. Is that right? I don't know.
I think so.
I'm thinking like the last 7 or 8 weeks, they were, you know, covering the number regularly.
Right.
So they, you know, they've got everything intact and added the running back from the Rams, Gurley. Mm-hmm. I think that's a huge pickup. I think the Rams gave up too early, or it's possible they know more than all of us and there's something more wrong with them. But I think he's a fantastic back that can elevate a team to that next level, just him alone.
Well, man, I'm excited. I'm hoping that all these leagues start and end their seasons without a hitch. Of course, it's all day-to-day in this age of COVID-19. But, Micah, we really appreciate you coming on with us again and can't wait to get you on to talk more more sports coming up in the future.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Thank you. That's Micah Roberts. You can follow him on Twitter at MicahRoberts7. Also read his writings on Vegas Insider and Gaming Today. You'll want to check him out on Vegas Insider before the NASCAR race that's coming up this weekend. Great follow there. And we'll come back with Sports Night on FM Talk 106.5. Wrap it up. We've talked about the Mahomes contract, but now we need to talk a little bit about the baseball players opting out of the 2020 season and 4 Atlanta Braves testing positive for COVID-19. What does that mean for the team? We'll talk about it when we get back on Sports Night on FM Talk 106.5.
You're listening to Sports Night on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, wrapping it up on FM Talk 106.5 Sports Night on this Monday night. Coming up next, Sweet Home Canabama with Jennifer Boozer. And I want to thank Ollie Cosell and Micah Roberts for coming on with us tonight. Finally, Corey, we've been treading water for, I don't know, 3.5-4 months without a wide selection of sports. Thankfully, there have been a couple sports to keep us going, PGA NASCAR. Of course, the UFC, and they have a huge event coming up this Saturday night. I'm so interested in that Usman-Masvidal title fight that they've got. But MLB looks like they are going to be the first sport to officially start out of the big four sports. You have NHL, NBA, and then MLB starting before both of them. And some big news from the MLB today and really over the weekend. But, Corey, you were mentioning the All-Star Game canceled for the first time.
Yeah, it's one of those things, America's pastime. You look in the summertime, you always look forward to the format of the All-Star Game in Major League Baseball. And it's officially been canceled for the first time since 1945. Mm. If you go back war years because of the World War II situation, and you hate to see that because it is COVID, but we're looking for some Major League Baseball beginning to resume its schedule July 23rd, and there'll be a couple matchups. The Yankees will take on Washington, and San Francisco will take on Los Angeles, the Dodgers. So that'll start back July 23rd, 2 weeks from this coming Thursday. We'll have professional sports, the four big ones, getting ready to start.
Yeah, they released that schedule today, and the Braves will actually open the next day after opening day. They'll open on the 24th on the road against the New York Mets, a three-game series at the Mets, then a two-game series at Tampa before a two-game series at home against Tampa, and then the Mets come home. I mean, we're going to see them playing the same teams over and over again during these 60 games. But for the Braves, it was a tough weekend if you're a Braves fan. They had four players test positive for the virus. Of course, Freddie Freeman, the first baseman, the slugger that means so much to that team, he tested positive, and it was pretty disconcerting to me to see what his wife, Chelsea, posted on Instagram. She said that he's been really going through it. He's had a tough time with coronavirus, and that she said they'd been completely strict, weren't going out to eat, weren't seeing family or anything like that, and still got the disease. So as a human, that's disconcerting. And, of course, as a human, you want all these players to be as healthy as possible. But Freeman tested positive. Relief pitcher Will Smith, Tukey Toussaint, another pitcher, tested positive. And then Pete Cosma also tested positive. But then the news today came out, or over the weekend came out, that Hernandez, Felix Hernandez, who they just picked up, and I'm not sure he was going to play a major role on the team anyway, but he is going to opt out of the 2020 season. The bigger news today was that Nick Markakis is also opting out, and he is a big deal to this team, especially now that the National League will allow designated hitters. You were pretty much guaranteed, as long as Markakis was healthy, he was going to be in that lineup. Now he's opting out. He and David Price, probably the two biggest names, that have said they're not going to play in this 2020 MLB season, but Mike Trout, highest paid player in the game, second highest contract in sports history now behind Patrick Mahomes, says he might not play. So you've got MLB players that are on the fence and talking about asterisks and whether seasons deserve an asterisk or not. If you've got all these players stepping out and not playing, that's a huge deal.
426 million reasons for Trout not to go ahead and play, and he's a little bit doubtful, so if he's skeptical about it, he's going to get his money regardless, Dalton. But you're right, for the Atlanta Braves, a 60-game season for major league teams, that's a short time, even though you're going to be playing repetitive games. It's not a lot of time to get yourself into the groove. You've had an opportunity to kind of stay healthy as far as from a physical standpoint, because you've been quarantined at home, but now that you're joining your teams, it's going to be interesting to see 60-game season, how that's going to go down if you're having double headers or whatever the situation may be in Major League Baseball.
Well, let's hope, for the sake of Americans looking for a little bit of entertainment relief, yes, during these tough times, let's hope that these sports are able to get up and go, especially college football. And we'll talk more about college football coming up in the next show. But that does it for tonight on Sports Night on FM Talk 106.5. We'll be back next Monday night. Also, check me out in the morning, Mobile Morning, 6 to 9, right here on FM Talk 106.5.